Yeah. Rabbi Yaakov made the assertion that Kula Nezika Chala Mesechta includes not only Bava Kampo Mitzia Bava Basra, but really includes all of Seder Nezikin, Shavuos and Makkos too. And that's why the Gemara asked himself the Shavuos, why is it that Shavuos comes after Makkos? But we asked, why is Kula Nezika Chala Mesechta? We don't find this by Nashim or Kudshim or Taros. Why is Kula Nezika Chala Mesechta? So I suggested that perhaps the reason is because Nezikin really represents Ben Adam L'Chaveiros, and Ben Adam L'Chaveiro is very different than Ben Adam L'Makom. Ben Adam L'Makom depends on specific activities, right? You eat matzah, you shake lulav, fast on Yom Kippur, and each one is distinct, right? If I fast on Yom Kippur, but I don't eat matzah, I'm certainly not doing, you know, what Hashem expects, but fasting Yom Kippur is still significant, and that stands, you know, on its own. Eating matzah, even if I didn't take lulav, is significant in its own right. Ben Adam L'Chaveiro is not the same. Everything is intertwined, everything is interdependent, perhaps because Ben Adam L'Chaveiro, as we tried to demonstrate, Julie Rebbe Chanan Wasserman's, suggestion or thesis, that Ben Adam L'Chaveiro really depends on results, not on activities, per se. So even if I didn't do an activity of tzedakah, I dropped money, but an ani found it, that's tzedakah, because the benefit or the result was achieved. By the same token, if I try, I try really hard, have good intentions, I do the activity even, but I'm unsuccessful, that's not like shaking an esrog that turns out to be murkav, that turns out to be a lemon, where Hashem gives you brownie points. We have to do our best to make sure we're shaking an esrog and not a lemon, but even if not, the best laid plans don't work out. Hashem gives us, mitzar for the ma'aseh. When it comes to Ben Adam L'Chaveiro, that's not the case. It depends on results. And if that's the case, that it depends on results, one can conceive of Ben Adam L'Chaveiro not as specific activities, standing on their own, but as, viewing them in the larger context. And even if I did many, many activities that perhaps independently might be perceived as as doing a positive thing for my friend, if it's undermined by another activity, so then its entire benefit is lost. If my friend reasonably perceives that I did him a avlo instead of a favor, in which case I lose all my reward. So Ben Adam L'Chaveiro perhaps are all interrelated, and that's why Kula Nezikin Chada Mesechti. Everything depends on the other. If I'm giving him tzedakah while I'm slashing his tires, that's not really doing him a favor, as opposed to shaking lulav while not eating matzah, which is significant. But why? Why? Why are Ben Adam L'Chaveiro structured in this fashion? I think the answer is twofold. One, practical. The other, philosophical or theological, if you will. The first practical reason is, because, based on the Pasuk in Parashas Re'eh, I meant to bring the Chumash, the Pasuk says in Parashas Re'eh, Ki lo yechdo evyon, Pasuk tiftach az yadcha, you should open up your hand to give tzedakah, Ki lo yechdo evyon mikarev haaretz. Because poverty will never be solved. And then the Pasuk continues, Al kein, anoich mitzav kalemar pasuk tiftach. Therefore, I'm commanding you, open up your hand and give to your friend. So because the problem of poverty will never be solved, open up your hand and give. So that's a weird reason to give tzedakah, because you'll never solve the problem, so do it. What? If you're never going to solve the problem, why bother? That's the question that the Ralbag asks. That's the question that the Abar Benel asks in Parashas Re'eh. If you can never solve poverty, why keep pouring money into a bottomless pit? You're never going to solve it anyway. It's an unsolvable problem. Yerushalayim never heard the mashal of the starfish, right? At least I helped this starfish, right? That was President Joel's favorite mashal. He said it at his investiture, and he said it countless times afterwards. The starfish, he discovered America. You know what I'm talking about. Oh, Chevy, you don't know the starfish? I'm a ratzim. There's a guy who comes to the shore, he sees a starfish, and he throws the starfish back in the water. Come on. So an old man comes by, he sees a kid taking starfish and he's throwing them back in the water. I've never seen a starfish. I don't know where they wash up on shore, what part of the world, but presumably they still wash up in the water. So it's gonna die on the shore. So he throws it back in the water. So an old man comes along and he says, young man, what are you doing? You threw back in that one starfish. But look at the beach. The beach is full of starfish. So he says, what are you doing? So he says, at least I helped that one starfish. Oh. So we can't solve the problem. We have to do our part. Okay. But that's not, you know, but if we're speaking, you know, as a culture, as a society, what are we really accomplishing by trying to solve the issue of poverty? The pasuk says, "Ki lo yechdal evyon mikarev ha'aretz." It's almost axiomatic that there will always be, I don't know what the economists would say about this, but there will always be poverty. So why bother? And in fact, the Torah doesn't even just say, you know, do it anyway. The Torah says, no, that's exactly why you should do it. What? That's the reason to do it. How could it be? So Shechta and the Sefer Be'ikvei Etzon quotes from Soloveitchik, a very powerful idea. And that is, you know, that Ben Adam Chaveros are based on reciprocity. And the Gemara comments in Masechta the Shabbos and Daf Kuf Na'al from the Beis, and that very pasuk, Ki lo yechdal evyon mikarev ha'aretz, that Anius is a Gilgal HaChozer Ba'olam. It is a revolving door that goes throughout the world. It seems like nowadays, you know, there are certain families that are, you know, have institutional wealth, you know, legacy wealth. But, you know, that's in this generation. Next generation, they could be on the receiving end. And we've seen it happen, you know, if you pay attention to history. The Gemara already discusses the daughter of Nakdima Ben Gurion, who was one of the richest families at the time of Beis HaMikdash, later was seen picking barley out of the dung and the excrement right of Behemton Shalav Dekaram. So this revolving door sometimes moves quickly. Sometimes, you know, a lot of times from great wealth, you can descend into great debt. You know, I would never be $5 billion in debt because who would ever lend me $5 billion in the first place? So if you have that kind of money, sometimes you can descend to great debts. But at the same time, poverty is a Gilgal HaChozer Ba'olam. It's a revolving door. So one day we might be on, you know, the receiving end, or the other day we might be on the giving end, and vice versa. So therefore, that's what the pasuk means. The pasuk means is, you never know when you might be on the receiving end. Ki lo yechdal evyon mikarev ha'aretz. It's a revolving door, a problem you can't solve. It's always going to be there. You never know when you might need help yourself. The famous Vilna Gaon, huh?
You have so here's the intention part.
Well, slow. We're finished. I hear where you're going, but let's just flesh it out, and then if your question is still relevant, please ask. So the Vilna Gaon is this famous pshat, Parshas Kisisa, and the Kol Elyo, that vinasnu, you should give to the Mishkan, Parshas Kisisa, vinasnu is a palindrome. Everyone knows what that means, right? It could be read in either way. Why is vinasnu a palindrome? Because giving tzedakah is a rewarding experience. You get a lot back in return. It makes you feel fulfilled and gives meaning and purpose to your life. But more than that, you never know when you might need, you know, be the one on the other end of that equation. So therefore, you have to give tzedakah to somebody else because you might need it at some point later yourself. I believe that's why, I've never seen the connection made elsewhere, but I think it's obvious, that's why we have a seder of kedimos when it comes to tzedakah. We're going to discuss this at length. It's coming up in the Gemara Bava Basra. Here's the source. But you only have an obligation to give tzedakah to someone who has an obligation to give to you. And you know, even within those who have an obligation to give to you, there's a priority that's given to those who you might are more likely to ask for help. So look over here on the sheet of Mar Makanas from last time. The Gemara says, Mesach is getting. And Af Samach Aleph and Aleph, it's a Mishnah. Mefarnesim ani, einachim ani, Yisroel mevnei dark Yisroel. We don't have time to, you know, discuss the entire issue of giving tzedakah to Gentile causes, but we do support the Gentile poor together with ani Yisroel mevnei dark Yisroel. The reason is dark Yisroel. It sounds like, though, the formal mitzvah of tzedakah should be done. Let's make that clear. But the formal mitzvah of tzedakah, it's not. It's dark Yisroel. Why? Darkei Shalom is critical, but and it can't be overstated. But it's not tzedakah. Why is it not tzedakah? I think the answer is tzedakah is ben adam chaveroi. The umos ha'olam, the Gentile population, has no mitzvah to help Jewish causes. They do. There are many. I think the largest donors to the state of Israel today are the evangelical Christians. Maybe we discuss that on another occasion, which what that's, you know, speaks about the Jewish philanthropic scene. You know, we'll have to leave for another time, discuss that in another context. But they do help. It's very nice of them to do so, but they have no obligation to do it. And since they have no obligation to give tzedakah to Jewish causes, we don't have an obligation to give tzedakah to their causes. Why? Is it tit for tat? Are we revengeful? No. It's because all ben adam chaveroi are predicated upon reciprocity. I help you today. It's not transactional, but it's close to it, that I have an obligation to help you because I might be on the receiving end myself. That is why I think the Sifrei comments on that pasuk in Parashas Re'eh, that I have an obligation to help achicha first, then sha'arecha, then aniye ircha, and then artzecha, aniye Eretz Yisrael. By the way, aniye ircha come before aniye Eretz Yisrael. It's important to keep in mind. During COVID, there are many aniye ircha. And unfortunately, a lot of, it's a good thing, but many people give tzedakah, they funnel all their money to Eretz Yisrael, and it leaves a lot of times the local institution, local moistas, in great need. So it's important to emphasize that aniye ircha comes before. Aniye Eretz Yisrael is great, and it comes before aniye Eretz Acheres. But aniye ircha comes first. So does achicha. Mi besarcha al tesalim. A person has an obligation to give to those members of his family, not only. You shouldn't give all your tzedakah to your family. The Gemara says that you're supposed to spread the wealth around. But if a person has an obligation to give tzedakah, the priorities are, first he should give to his family, then he should give to aniye ircha, and then he should give to aniye Eretz Yisrael. What's called aniye ircha today? We have people, we live in a global society. So many Paisim are of the opinion, no, it means the organizations that I have a shaykhus with. Let's say a person learned in yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael. That's aniye ircha for him. Why? Why is that aniye ircha for him? Or my school in town. Let's say I send my kids to a certain elementary school. That's aniye ircha. The other elementary school, not because I don't like them and we don't have a sense of achdus. That's not aniye ircha. Why? Obvious. Because if I needed help, who would I go to? Leilenu, I would go to my kid's school and say, I need a tuition scholarship or something. So I would go to them. If I go to them first when I need help, I have to help them first. It's all based on reciprocity. So your family, you have to help your family first. Why? Nepotism? No. Because if a person needs help, who is he going to go to? His parents. Then his siblings. Maybe his children if he's, you know, whatever. That's where a person's going to go. So that's who you have to help first. So aniye ircha too. The institutions you're associated with, whether it's in your geographic vicinity or not, are aniye ircha, because those are the people you're going to give to. And all ben al-chaver is based on reciprocity. Therefore, if a person gives without a prospect of reciprocity, oh, that's what's known as chesed shel emes. That's true chesed. Look over here. Rashi says in Parashas Vayechi, Vasisa imodi chesed b'yemes, al-nasik b'reini b'mitzrayim. Yaakov asked of his children not to bury me in Mitzrayim, and he called that a chesed shel emes. So Rashi quotes from the Medrash, is there a chesed of emes and a chesed not of emes? Is there a true chesed and a not true chesed? Yes. Not true chesed means when a person does so in the hopes that you will reciprocate what he did. That's the expectation. That's the baseline. Most people do chesed for that reason, kind of transactionally. Then there's a higher level of chesed. That's known as chesed shel emes. That's why burying Mason, a lot of times there's an organization now called chesed shel emes, that they pay for funeral, costs. No one's going to... We used to have a big Kamachal, he's Davanan Shul, was a survivor. His name was Dr. Schoenfeld. He was the brother of Fabian Schoenfeld from Young Israel, Kew Gardens Hills. They both died over COVID, but neither one from COVID, but they both died over COVID within a few months of each other. So he used to say, he was in his mid-90s, so we had young guys would help him put on his talus in Shul. So he said... As they're putting on his towels, he's like, I'm not going to reciprocate this favor for you. I'm not helping you with your towels. I'm not going to be around long enough to help you with your towels. Anyway, but that's typically chesed, is reciprocated. Chesed shel emes is when there's no prospect of reciprocation. So if that's the case, so I think it goes like this. When is a person going to reciprocate a favor for me? If I had good intentions? If I wanted to do it, but I didn't end up doing it? No. There's no... Let's say a guy says, you know... Some people think you get away with this. I invited you for lunch, and you're not able to make it. I invited you to my wedding, you're not able to make it. Oh, so now you owe me. Right? You have to invite me to your simchas and things like that. But if, let's say a person had... I wanted to invite you for lunch, but I didn't. Do you owe me anything? No. I wanted to give you tzedakah, but I didn't, because I didn't have the money on hand. I'm not able to help you. Do you owe me? No. It's only if you follow through. If you're able to be successful, then the chain, that cycle of reciprocity begins. But if you haven't been successful, it doesn't begin. Yeah? Yeah? So that's why I think Bein Adam L'Chaveiro is structured in this fashion, that it depends on results. Because Bein Adam L'Chaveiro, the whole purpose is to set up a system of reciprocity. Reciprocity depends on results, not on actions or intentions, but on results. And that's why perhaps Bein Adam L'Chaveiro is a structure in this fashion. You still have a question? Or I think there's a philosophical reason, though, too. Yeah, what are you saying?
These are not altruistic. When people pretend like being involved in chesed altruistic, inherently is not altruistic.
I don't know why we have to belittle people who do things.
Who said that anyone's belittling?
Well, non-altruistic implies that it's like...
I mean, it sounds like that
definition. I mean, you're calling reciprocity. I understand tip for tat, you scratch my back, I scratch your just my life. I'm saying, so I get it now. But like, that makes me want to get involved so people will help me.
I think it goes back to your perspective on that book, How to Win Friends and Influence People. What's that?
I know what you're talking about.
Dale Carnegie.
How do you... So, in certain yeshivas, they use Dale Carnegie as a musa sefer. No. And there, sir, I think they recommend to read it. It was, in my time, it's recommended reading. It's a musa sefer. You know what I'm talking about? Dale Carnegie, How to Win Friends and Influence People. So he basically tells you how to manipulate people. So some people call it manipulation. How can you? It's terrible. Other people view it as, no, it's just understanding the world and figuring out how to get along and be successful. I don't see it as manipulation. I see it as understanding people. Some of the principles that he lays down there are just basic courtesy, right? You know, heap praise on people. Now, I could heap praise on you because I'm buttering you up and I want you to do whatever the next favor I ask. And it's hard to peel back all the levels of intent that we have in doing things, but there's a certain positive quality to it also, that it's good. It's good midos.
That's not what the books say.
Our books say, well Chesed Cho Emes is the outlier.
But when you're helping out in the tuition things because you need tuition, you're helping out with the closed classes, one day it might be closed.
Well, would you say that a tuition committee that only provides tuition assistance to their student body is self-centered?
They're doing their job.
That's their job.
Right. It's not altruistic. You're doing your job.
No, it is very altruistic.
One day maybe your whole family get wiped out and you need someone to bury you.
I hope I never am in need, that I need your help.
But that's right. The point. That's never, always research.
But you're investing in a system of Social Security. Yeah. That's basically what it is.
Yes.
Insurance. I mean, if you're a wealthy guy and you're giving money, you're not assuming, like, I'm going to give clothes to people because maybe one day I'll need clothes. They can't possibly.
But they should. That's what this is saying.
But you really are. You're buying into the system.
You're paying social credits. It's like I'm paying social
security.
So later on,
excellent. Well, then let's get to the philosophical point, and then you'll either criticize or
No.
You'll either throw me off the cliff of transactionality, or
Can you say helping someone being buried is not Chesed Cho Emes because maybe their family will help you out in the future? Also.
Right. Exactly.
It's nothing to do with that person.
No,
that's not
I'm talking about a mitzvah. Guy's no family. What
no, so but maybe that society that you help out one day bury you because your family gets
every guy works in Shem in what's that place in Borough Park on 14th? Shomer Hadass. Every guy who works in Shomer Hadass is not Chesed Cho Emes. That place is expensive, and they don't know exactly what it is.
It's like one day you might need.
That's regular Chesed. That's regular Chesed.
Maybe the guy you're talking about is Chesed Cho Emes, but it's very specific.
Well, drops off chicken soup at every guy in NYU. Is that Chesed Cho Emes? Well, they hope you donate, you support your cause, but they're doing a great type, right? Yeah, okay. Look, let's get to the philosophical point, and then we'll see if your criticism still holds. Question, I think that this goes, it's a little bit more philosophical, too. And Rabbi says, it's also Nageya in Yana D'Yoma. It's Nageya in Yana D'Yoma. Because look back at that mission that we had in the Sefer Yuma. We've seen so many times, but let's read it carefully. So Mishnah over here, Oiz Dawid. Aver Shabin Olmo, Mokom Yom Kippur Mechaper. Aver Shabin Olmo, Chaveroi. What is Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria adding to the Tanna Kamma? Is he just providing a source? Or is he adding something? Because he repeats his statement again. Tanna Kamma said, Yad Shiratzes Chavero. Rabbi Ben Azaria quotes from the pasuk Barashas Achrimot with regards to Yom Kippur, Machi Ratzes Chavero. Again, same thing. And we have really the same question of Rabbi Kiva. What is Rabbi Kiva saying? I'm Rabbi Kiva. Shreikim Yisrael, Nei Ad Mi Atem Matar makes a great nigin, but Mi Matar Eschem, Avinu Shav Shemayim, Zarak Mamayim Tahir Mutahar Tem Mikvi Yisrael, Ma Mikvi Matar Satmei, Ma Bekadosh Baruch Hu Matar Yisrael. What's going on over here? What are they adding? So, in the commentary of the Rif on the Ein Yaakov, he says they're adding a lot. What they're adding is that you can't achieve one without the other. Where Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria is saying, maybe even more Rabbi Kiva, is that you would say, all right, you know what, this Yom Kippur, I'm going to have limited aspirations. I'll focus on Ben Adam Lamakom. I'll leave the Ben Adam Chavero for another time. I don't want to ask mechila now. It's just going to lead, you know, to other problems. It's going to get too sticky for me. I'm going to focus on Benam Lumakum this year. So you might have said, sure, you can do that. Yom Kippur is mechaper for that. Benam Lumakum, I'll leave for another time. That's where Beloza Ben Azariah comes to say, no, you can't do that. They're all intertwined. You have to do them together. You need both. One without the other is nothing. And Rabbi Akiva reinforces the notion with the comparison to the mikvah, right? If a guy goes into a mikvah, that is a purification process in the totality of the individual. You can't go into the mikvah while holding on to the sheretz, while holding on to the source of your tumah. So you can't hold on to certain averos when you walk into Yom Kippur. Everything's got to be on the table. It's something that's comprehensive. So that's what these Tanam are adding, is that you can't do one without the other. Look over here, the riff. Oysir Ches and the Sheet of Marmor comes. V'nir Oni Az Daiti Shur, B'gaz Ben Azari, Darash HaMikra, Mimena Shana Loimar, Shadeiro Shabein Adam Lamaka, Yom Kippur Mechaper. Averi Shabein Adam Lamaka, Yom Kippur Mechaper, Is Man Shiesh Agam Kein Ben Adam Lechavero, Tuluya Kaparas Avonaisim Shabein Adam Lamaka, Mat Shiratis Chavero. You can't get a Kapar from Ben Adam Lamaka until you are Meratis, that's Chavero, Amash HaKotra, Yom Chavero. So one depends on the other. That's a really bold statement. But even less than that, even if we don't go as far as the Rif, the Birkei Yosef quotes, they're often confused, but it's really not the same thing. A similar thing from Rav Shmuel, maybe it's Garmazian, I don't know, but it's Garmizan. Interesting name. Quoted by the Pri Chodesh. This would be going back a long way already. That said what? He said a slightly different thing, but similar idea. That is that in Bein Adam Lechaveros, there's really two components, right? Hashem commanded us to give tzedakah, but then there's the interpersonal side of it, that I give tzedakah to my friend. So it's Bein Adam Lechavero, but then there's also the Bein Adam Lamakom in the Bein Adam Lechavero. We don't want to be nitpicky, but we're really doing the mitzvah because Hashem commanded us to do it, right? Our mishpatim, you know, El mishpatim, Mishatasim with Nehem, we have our own set of mishpatim, you know, that are not the same as the Umas Olam, Mishpatim, Baal Yadom. They don't understand our Mishpatim. Our Mishpatim are divine. Their Mishpatim are man-made. So we have two aspects, ever made on Mechavero. So says the Birkei Yosef, if you want to get a kapara for the Bein Adam L'Mokoyim side of the coin, within the Bein Adam L'Chaveros, you need kapara for the Bein Adam L'Chaveros side of the coin too. So it's limiting. It's not saying you can't get kapara for wearing shatnez because I spoke Lashon Hara about my friend. That's what the Rif said. What they're saying is, no, you can't get kapara on the Bein Adam Mokoyim aspect of speaking Lashon Hara without getting kapara on the Bein Adam Chaveroi aspect of speaking Lashon Hara. Everything here depends on the Bein Adam Chaveroi aspect. The Bein Adam Mokoyim follows in its wake. Yes, of course, shatnez can be separated. Eating chametz on Pesach can be separated. But you can't get kapara for slashing your friend's tires unless I get kapara, you know, between me and God, unless I get kapara between me and my friend. So you understand, it's very much more limited in scope. The Bein Adam L'Chavero, side of the coin, is what drives the kapara for Bein Adam L'Chaveros. The Rif stood even further. Even for my entire religious relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu depends on how I treat my friend. This, we're not going that far. We're saying that the Bein Adam HaMakoyim side of the Bein Adam HaChavero ledger depends on the Bein Adam HaChavero. So everything's driven by the Bein Adam HaChavero, at least with regards to Bein Adam HaChavero, right? There is a divine aspect here, you know, religious aspect, but the interpersonal aspect is what drives the train. The Rif took it even further, and he said, no, in your entire relationship with God, Bein Adam HaMakoyim is, you know, kind of the foundation. Bein Adam, I'm sorry, L'Chavero is the foundation. You cannot repair your relationship with Hashem unless I repair my relationship with my friend first. Entirely. Because it's a little bit more limited. But either way, we need to understand why. Why is Bein Adam L'Chavero, you know, the driver in my relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu? More so, or just to put it, you know, again, give it a little more teeth and then we'll explain, is the Pasuk says, Parashas Mishpatim, Im Kesef Talves Ami. If you will lend money to my nation, which means, then you're not allowed to charge rivers, you're not allowed to charge interest. Why does it say Im Kesef Talves Ami? It's a huge mitzvah to lend money, even if you don't give it. just lending money is a huge mitzvah. Sometimes it's a bigger headache. I know a guy, he will not give a loan. Anytime a guy comes in for a loan, 10 grand, he says, forget it. I'll give you 5 and leave me alone. Because collecting the loan, he knows he's never going to get it back. So he uses the negotiating tool. Yeah, I'll give you half, just, we're done. Anyway, giving a loan is sometimes a bigger headache than giving a matana. Giving a loan, I expect you to pay me back. I might be disappointed, and you know it's going to be complicated. But it's a big, huge mitzvah. There's many, many, gemachs, just loans, interest-free loans. It's a tremendous thing. So that's a huge mitzvah. Why is the pasuk say im, if? So Rashi there comments that there are 3 times the Torah uses the word im. Doesn't mean if, it means you should do it, but its phrase is im. If, but you should do it. A lot of times if means it's up to you. For shus, there are 3 times that it's a chayva. And this is one of them. Why did the Torah say if then, if it's a chayva? So Ksav Sefer has a pshat over here. Look over here, Oizchav Aleph. Ksav Sefer says, Rav Moshe has the same thing in the Drash Moshe, other Mepharshim, the same thing. That's because when a person gives money to his friend, he shouldn't do it out of obligation. He shouldn't say, I'm giving you money because Hashem told me to do it. You should do it because altruistically, I love my friend. I want to do something for you. Even though it's a mitzvah. So in the Sefer Darkei Musa, that's what Yaakov Naiman quotes there from the altar of Kelm, who said this is true by all Ben Adam L'Chaveros. When it comes to Ben Adam L'Chavero, you shouldn't do it because Hashem told you to do it. You should do it because I love my friend, because I want to help my friend, altruistically, if you will. So I have to do it for that reason, and that's my intention. So what does giving tzedakah l'shma mean? If mitzvah srichas kavanah, when it comes to benon mechaveros, which it's not. But if mitzvah srichas kavanah, if there was a need for kavanah when it comes to benon mechaveros, what would the kavanah be? I hope that this binds me to Hashem. I'm doing it because Hashem told me to do it. No, it's because I want to help my friend. Because I want to help my friend. That's the lishma. That should be our attitude. Not that I have to do it, Hashem told me to do it. I should do it because in kesef tal v'sami, because I want to do it. But it's not just a musav art. This is a philosophical art. Because the way I connect with Hashem is by doing something for my friend. Right before you say, how do we connect with the Kaddish Baruch Hu? I don't mean this in a musav sense. How do we connect with the Kaddish Baruch Hu? In a very practical way. Through mitzvahs. What are we doing by doing mitzvahs? How is that connecting with Hashem? You know, the Gemara asks in a few places, the pasuk has a few times, all in Sefer Dvarim, curiously, a mitzvah of dveikos. Uvoisidbak, atem hadveikim b'Hashem, chayim kuchem ayom, a mitzvah of dveikos, attaching ourselves to Hashem. How does dveikos happen? Some people think you go into a forest and you hum, and that brings you close to Hashem. I'm not saying it doesn't, I have no idea. It's beyond my pay grade. Some people think, you know, it's by singing nikunim. Okay, I don't know. But Chazal asked this question, no one less than Chazal. Chazal asked this question in a few places. How can we attach ourselves to Hashem? He is ineffable. We can't describe Him. We can't imagine Him. He's beyond our comprehension. He's, as the Pasuk describes in Parashas Ekev, Eish Eichla. He's an all-consuming fire. So how do I attach myself to something I can't imagine, can't describe, and can't conceive of? So maybe the answer is sitting in a forest and crossing my legs in a pretzel and thinking. I don't know. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. I can't comment. But Chazal asked this question, and Chazal provided an answer. What did Chazal say? The way you attach yourself to a Kaddish Baruch Hu is by following the midos of Hashem, v'halachta bedrakav. In that very same pasuk, the Torah used the word dveikos. So look over here. Pasuk Gemara Masechta Saita. My desiv acharei Hashem elokeichem teleichu b'chiyashu l'adam laluk achar ashchina. That pasuk ends with dveikos. So how is it possible to be dovek to Hashem or to follow after the ways of Hashem? Ki Hashem alkecha, eish oiklohu. Hashem is an all-consuming fire. The Gemara says, no. Halach achar midosav. I do the mitzvahs. The mitzvahs, I embody the qualities that Hashem expresses through the mitzvahs. That is attaching myself to Hashem. So the mitzvahs are the... Well, one way we know of is, by the way, limud haTorah. Right? That's the Nefeshah Chaim's point, all of Shaar Dawud. You ever learn Nefeshah Chaim? Of Shaar Dawud, he discusses that in previous generations they were just hardcore learning and there was no dveikus at all, and he says people lost a little bit of the, you would think he's writing it today, people lost a little bit of the excitement for, you know, being dovek b'Hashem. So he said in his time, as he said in his time in the 1700s, people went to the other extreme, and now they're oisik and dveikus and they left learning entirely. So he thinks that that's a mistake. Of course it's important to pepper our experiences with, you know, a little bit of, you know, limud musar and yira, of course. But he says that the highest level of dveikus, this is his point in all of Shard Aled, is learning Torah, because Torah is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He quotes him the Zohar HaKadosh. The Yisrael, this phrase doesn't actually appear. The song goes, Yisrael v'ayraisa v'kutshabichu kadhu. That phrase never appears in the Zohar. Yisrael v'ayraisa v'kutshabichu kadhu. You know that song? Yeah, that's right. Everyone knows. But ayraisa v'kutshabichu kadhu does appear. The Torah and HaKadosh Baruch Hu are one. So if a person is learning Torah, that's why Nefesh HaKadosh makes the point. Learning Torah Lishma means learning Torah just to understand the Torah. That sounds so ish halacha dick. No, but that's exactly the point. Is that learning Torah at its highest, deepest levels, where I'm consuming my thought processes and consciousness in the Torah, that is Dveikus Vashem, because the Torah is an extension, an expression, a mashal of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So by learning Torah, that's the highest form of Dveikus. Now, sometimes we have to contextualize that for ourselves. Maybe, as a niggun in the middle of a welcoming seminar or something. Maybe it's at the beginning of Seder or some other way. There's ways we have to contextualize for that and remind ourselves of that. And the Nefesh HaChaim already makes that point. Before learning, sometimes in the middle of learning. But it should never overtake the Ikar. The Ikar is, the learning is an attachment to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The mitzvahs too. By doing the mitzvahs, we're attaching ourselves to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But let's take a step back. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, the Ramchal writes in a few places, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which we don't understand, had a ratzon to be mativ l'brios, to do things for others. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world to give, we don't understand why, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ways of Hashem, but Hashem created the world as an expression of love for us, and to do for others. That's what Ramchal writes, already based on the Zohar HaKadosh. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world to do good for others. If that's the case, Rabbi Yisai, what is the highest form of connecting with Hashem? Mahu rachum, avato rachum. Mahu chanun, avato chanun. So by embodying the qualities of wanting to do good for others altruistically, that itself is the definition of connecting myself to the spiritual source of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There could be nothing higher. That's why the Bein Adam HaMakom depends on the Bein Adam HaChaver. That's why I have to repair my relationship with my friend before I can repair my relationship with the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because my relationship with my friend is an example, is a mashal, is a way of embodying, of connecting with Hashem, because I am mimicking the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who created the world to do good for others. So that's why doing good for others, the reciprocity part of it, might undermine some of the altruism of it. I can see that point. That, if I'm thinking transactionally, it's hard to be thinking lishma. But I think that the lishma here is to do good for others, and there's no higher, altruistic motive, not only societally speaking, but also religiously speaking, because what greater way can there be to copy HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, or to emulate the Ribbono Shel Olam, than doing exactly what he did in creating the world, which is doing good for others. So perhaps that's why Bein Adam L'Chaveiro are structured in this fashion. Not only, that everything depends on results, a net positives to my friend, he's the driver of, he's in the driver's seat, he determines whether or not he can be Michael me or not, and I can't make a bracha because he might not accept it. Bein Adam L'Chaveiro depend on results to my friend, perhaps because of the reciprocity part of it, right, the practical side. But I think there's also an aspect of it which is religious, and that is that, that when it comes to connecting with the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, emulating the Ribbono Shel Olam, achieving dveikus by keeping the mitzvahs and giving to others, so I have to follow in the footsteps of Hashem, which is not just intentions, which is not just actions, but is, kind of results-oriented. So that's why perhaps Bein Adam L'Chaveiro is a structure. So I was hoping to get to, to the meat and potatoes over here of the Mishnah, of HaKol Kaminig HaMedina. I guess we'll have to pick up with that next time. So relevant, by the way, if you know what's going on with this eviction moratorium. You could picture, I don't like talking politics, but I have no political stake over here. But I'm talking about the the tact inside, if you could imagine a frum landlord and a frum tenant, and this being litigated in Beis Din, how would Beis Din decide this kind of an issue might be related to HaKol Kaminig HaMedina. How far do we take this notion of HaKol Kaminig HaMedina when adjudicating Dinei Torah? So one of the examples that we have of this concept is in our Mishnah. Rabbeinu Tam here is perhaps the most famous Rabbeinu Tam of that sugya. Rabbeinu Tam puts a severe limitation on it, and we'll have to explore how far we go with that.
So, in terms of almost was.